to cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching.
나란 참말로 주신행인한 자행인한자 최는 강숭바다 랑 생미부터 등금도 등등도다면도 딱계시죠.
Whether we are, a spiritual teacher, or playing the role of a spiritual teacher and speakers, or whether we are playing the role of listeners or the audience, it is very important for all of ourselves to find out with our own state of mind accords with spirituality or dharma. In other words, there should not be disparity between our way of thinking, our mindset, and what we learn in dharma or spirituality.
민티바티파 방약 매부 좌약 탑지셔 보겠습니다. As
we investigate our own state of mind to find out whether our own mindset or way of thinking it agrees with or accords with spiritual teachings or dharma teachings, and if we do find out that our mind and dharma are in concordance with each other or agree with each other, well, we have every good reason to rejoice in this state of mind. But on the other hand, if we find that our mind and dharma are in disparity, then, you know, we should not just simply ignore it as if, okay, this is how it is, you know. But rather we should make efforts correct this state of being. You know, we should make efforts let go our way of thinking that does not accord with dharma, and see that our mind and dharma, they, you know, if you will, collude, they come together with each other. As individuals who take interest in spiritual teaching or Dharma teaching, in our everyday life, all of us, you know, I'm speaking to myself as a spiritual teacher and to you as my audience, that in our everyday life, we really need to reflect on whether our actions of body, speech, and mind, what we do physically, what we say verbally, and what we think mentally, whether they are harmful to other sentient beings or not, whether we do something physically, verbally, and mentally that hurts others, or the things we do that are beneficial to others, because that's a really important thing for us to find out, how our actions, you know, bring about the things which are harmful or beneficial to other beings.
Ta jeba she ne de ha ko su na sin je le ne be rit dun cham le pa pang te be she ge.
So as we engage in that kind of self-examination, investigation, you know, to find out about our own actions, our body, spirit, and mind, and if we do find that our actions are harmful to others, or bring harms to others, then we really need to correct ourselves. We need to modify our actions of body, speech, and mind. But on the other hand, you know, we may find our actions, beneficial to others.
Mm-hmm.
So when do we really need to do that? If you ask that question to ourselves, we cannot just kind of make a plan to do this some another time, you know, procrastinate it, I'll do later time or tomorrow. We really need to act now, in this present moment, you know, if as we look at our mind, and if our actions of body, spirit, and mind do not accord with Dharmas, then we act now to modify our behaviors and actions. But if they do accord with Dharma, then we need to promote them or enhance them. All our holy spiritual masters or the gurus have unanimously said that the first thing what we need to do is we have to educate ourselves in the matters of Dharma. So we develop the knowledge, spiritual knowledge or the Dharma knowledge. Once we have that knowledge or the understanding, then the next thing is even more important, that is we have to implement the teachings, we have to cultivate spirituality, because that's the whole purpose of spiritual education. If we know so much intellectually or academically, but we really never, you know, think of putting it into practice, then we are, you know, similar to a poor guy, you know, who knows so much about economics and how much money people have in their bank accounts or balance sheet, whatever, but himself or herself does have nothing, you know. So we do not want to be in that kind of a situation where we know so much, but in reality, what we have is zero. Well, I really do not mean to say that we have to be perfect to, you know, as we begin doing everything, because it is a process. It takes time for us to modify our actions of body, spirit, and mind, to get rid of the negativities. It is a process we have to go through, and it takes time and so many steps to go through. But nonetheless, we need to make efforts to do that. You know, even if it means taking the step number one now, you know, we need to get it there, you know, try to do that. So we need to start from small, simple things, and then we learn to do, you know, more, how should I say, complex and advanced practices. We may find ourselves, you know, holding great expectations of our own spiritual journey or practice. We say, okay, now I decided to do a spiritual practice, so therefore it means this is what I want, you know, thing to happen. So we may have a great expectation or expectations of ourselves as spiritual practitioners. Well, I mean, to hold great expectations of ourselves in some way is a disservice to ourselves. You see, that's not how things work, really. As great, you know, experienced masters have got this to say, that when it comes to abandoning, getting rid of delusion, or deluded states of mind, first we have to work with what we call the coarser level of delusions, which are relatively speaking easy to notice and easy to get rid of. But in terms of spiritual accomplishment or cultivation, in terms of realization, we just expect the small realizations come first, you know. So in terms of abandonment, we try to get rid of more predominant delusions, more grosser form of delusions, gross forms of delusion, if you will. But in terms of spiritual realization, we just have to, you know, start getting small, you know, if you will, the units of realization, and then advance the, you know, our spiritual development. So we really need to think about what we can do that benefits us, you know, here and now, this life, and also things which will benefit our future lives as well. You know, we really need to take care of this life as well as our future lives.
That's in the
So if we really take time to think about, you know, what can we do that is beneficial to us here and now in this lifetime, and which will also benefit our future lives. So as we pursue that kind of investigation, if you will, or analysis, so we'll find out is all the worldly accomplishments, you know, which includes becoming rich and famous, you know, bold and beautiful, and all other things you just said, they may be really seem important, but their benefits are very limited to just this lifetime. You know, only in this life maybe they do bring certain benefits to us, you know, because we got the power, we got the money, we got the beauty, we got the, you know, look, and we got the everything, name and fame and, you know, all of the above. But once we, I must say goodbye here, well, they cannot follow us. That's it, you
know.
But if we juxtapose spirituality or Dharma to all of those things, which we may consider very important, this life, but Dharma is something not only really has meaning, brings meaning to our life now, but once we, you know, leave this world, you know, it follows us and it's even, you know, accompanies us and brings meaning in our future lives.
want to mason chi chabur sha shma phekil phemba ma to sin dile phyag sa chu dun tin dile pe a ki bu da bu ma ta tin le san tang ja ma res.
So we recognize that Dharma or spirituality is of tremendous benefit to this life and to future lives, of course. But that being said, when we engage in spiritual actions and practices, you know, our motivation should be such that, you know, we are doing it to benefit our future lives, you know, not to think about this life. So don't be preoccupied. But that, you know, so that our motivation is not tainted by worldly attitudes and concerns, you know, how to be rich and beautiful and all of that here. You know, that may very well happen, you know, as we do good practice and all that. So, but we really don't have to think about that. We only concern more about the betterment of our future lives. So let me emphasize this again. When we cultivate motivation to engage in spiritual actions and practices, our motivation should not have anything to do with, the worldly concerns of this lifetime. We should only be thinking about the benefits of future lifetimes. You know, we should not be concerned, okay, if somehow I get involved in Dharma, so then that might, somehow make me famous and very popular. Somehow, or that somehow maybe something happens and then I become very rich and very influential. Now those concerns should not be the part of our equation, Dharma equation here. We should not think about those. Those things may happen, you know, but our real motivation has to be very pure in the sense that it's all oriented towards fulfilling the betterment of future lives.
Sindhi tanda zan matang dhe shena, kyu dhuni sindhila pendant kandiji pengu dha hagos.
So now as I'm kind of trying to say, like, you know, let us not, you know, include any worldly concerns of this lifetime in the Dharma motivation. Then somebody might wonder, well, then how does it work? Well, how could Dharma benefit? If I'm not thinking about this life, so all these other concerns which seem important to me, so how could Dharma benefit this life then?
So
So as we talk about, spiritual cultivation or practice, you know, some of the core values that we are trying to cultivate are, you know, we want to cultivate love and compassion and kindness and generosity and all of those things, while to and for other sentient beings. Now, when we started to do that, we are not faking, we are not acting, but we really truly mean it, that we started to, you know, develop love and compassion for other beings, then really what happens is that our mind is really transforming. See that? It's subdued. Maybe before we were very delusional and negative, now our mind is really changed and very subdued, and it's becoming positive thinking. And as that happens, when we are in a positive state of mind, we never think of harming anybody. You know, we are never going to bring harm to other beings in the society. And so everybody really seems to enjoy our company, and the things work much better.
So that
So when we really truly practice Dharma and transform our state of mind from negative into positive or neutral into positive, whatever the case may be, and when we really show care and love to and for others, you know, others start to respond positively to our attitudes and actions, positive. So in that way, we see that not only things have changed so much positively within us, but in the environment as well. Now we started to have really less and less enemies, the so-called, you know, and we started to have more and more genuine friends. You know, we are building friendships with people and sentient beings. So in that way, you know, as we keep ourselves happy state of mind, positive state of mind, we also bring happiness to other, other people, you see. So it is a win-win situation, isn't it, right? We are happy, others are happy. So what I'm really trying to get across to you is that if you truly cultivate Dharma or spirituality, then you see, not only do we get the benefits, but through us, we're also benefiting other beings. As we change into positive people, let's say, positive state of mind, you know, we are really not, I won't use the words that Gishila didn't say. So anyway, cut, I'm going to remind the director, cut that. So when we are happy, we are positive, and so then, you know, we make those positive contributions to the environment, the society, and people around us. So in order to really get a sense of the tremendous benefits of practicing Dharma or spirituality, right? So we need to do social comparisons here so that find out where we are and where, you know, those who really did well, they are. And there are these amazing lines that we know. It says, just simply look at the difference between us as sentient beings and look at Buddha. You know, where is he or she, Buddha's enlightened being, right? Where are they? And where are we? You know, what is this big difference? You know, they are so happy and positive and perfect, whereas we are deluded and, you know, a lot of headaches and problems, you know. What's the big deal between us, you know? So if we look at the difference between enlightened beings, you know, transcendental bodhisattvas and ourselves, you know, that difference will answer the question. Speak for itself. So that's like my prepping you for, you know, to continue the teachings based on this text. And I know many of you have heard this and you know this already, so in which case I'm just kind of giving you a friendly reminder here, right? I'm not teaching you anything new. But then people who are new to this, well, then you are learning something new. You are getting new information. So in a nutshell, what I'm trying to get across to you is that, you know, we have, you know, zillions of things to do. We can be busy and caught up with, you know, endless stuff. But perhaps the most important thing that we can do for ourselves, others, for this life and for future lives is to cultivate spirituality, meaning to transform our state of being into something positive. So I'm sharing this thing so that we have a chance to reflect upon these things, and we do need, all of us need to contemplate and reflect on these matters, you know. If we get into the habit of just listening once and then not thinking about it, then slowly, slowly, things have a tendency to disappear, you know, vanish, and then nothing is left in our state of mind. So then there's the Tibetan metaphor of this animal we call Trema, which is more like a big bear, and who's just trying to catch this hibernating animal, right? And what happens is you catch one and you put it under your butt, then you go and grab another one because you lift your butt, that goes away. So ultimately, you thought you caught so many, but at the end you just only have one because, you know, you just keep on. I'm being very generous. Kishala said there's nothing at the end except empty, you know, because you put the last one under your butt and then you go up to another one, then that's gone too. So there's nothing really at the end, you know. So we might end up doing that, you know, doing a lot of accumulation of information and intellectual stuff, and, you know, but at the end, you know, well, now you got the picture, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That kind of is.
Okay, so let's return to this wonderful text called, you know, a collection of, you know, advices from the Kadamba Geshes. This wonderful text is more like a collection of questions and answers, right? Q&As. And so we find many different disciples asking questions to great masters, and they're giving their responses to them. And sometimes we might even find redundancy here and there, you know, but it's not in, oh God, my gosh, it's again repeated here. But sometimes repetitions are what we need, you know, for our reflection and mindset. So we really want to pay close attention to the messages contained in these statements.
You know, yerba sen ta longba jyo cha ye ba yin sar ba ye ba xiang zui se kong yu se de ta re kong kong ge chen le yerba xiang yerba se de sa jia men she xiang zui nan se ge kurang ge xie ne ri ka na ge ka ye se na o ko lu se ng ran chu se ge o ko lu se de da ning ba xing ran chu o ko ni ta ba ne ta ba den de ne na se ngo ne zhong ne ge ta ba den ni ge chen ke ji yin na se ta ta ba den ne na.
Now we are beginning with a new section here, but it seems that it's not
segment.
No, like it's more like a statement rather than a question answer. Nobody really asked this question, but our master by the name of Xiang Zun, and because he came from a place called Yerba, which is the Tak Yerba in central Tibet. So it's called basically the Xiangzun from the Yerba area. And he said, and a vocal, which is for the Tibetan language students, right? Vocal is a very archaic word, which means us. You know, those of us are those who really from the depth of their heart and mind are seeking freedom or liberation, nirvana. So what we need to do is that every day we really need to think about impermanence and death and dying. we should not let our mind be separated from the awareness of death and dying and impermanence of life and things.
So,
so it says here, Midaba Yila Samba means we engage our mind in the reflection of impermanence and should not let our mind be, deviated from that, separated from that reflection. In Lamrim treatises, Lamrim is a Tibetan term which means stages of the path, so it's a genre in Tibetan Buddhism, practice guide. It is said that, of all the footprints of animals, I believe, an elephant are the biggest. Of all types of awareness, that of the impermanence is very powerful awareness. Maybe I need to explain a little bit this whole metaphor about the footprints of an elephant, we're really not talking about the ordinary elephant that we know of, but this is a case of a very special, rare kind of elephant. And it is said that these elephants of this particular species, they have this extraordinary sensory power that they could detect before they start their journey what is within the, 500 yojanas, so make it 500 miles, I guess, And they could detect whether there are any risk on the path, any enemies that, they could attack. They could sense it before they start the journey. So they kind of scan it through, they got that great technology in their mind. So they scan it through and they say, okay, this is a very, no danger zone and, comfortable path. So then they follow that. So if those are, people who know such elephants, if we follow the footprints of those elephants, so we have a very smooth journey, with no risk and no danger. So if we were to follow the footsteps of these elephants from the start of the journey to the end of the journey, we will have no difficulties because they already detected everything, scanned, right? So in the same way, if we cultivate this awareness of impermanence of life, then from the start of our practice to the completion of our practice or the completion of our spiritual journey, we will have a very smooth, if you will, smooth, travel on the spiritual path. There are many reasons, why we attach so much importance to realize impermanence of life and things. When our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, right, he started his first teaching, we call the first sermon or the first teaching or the first turning of the wheel of the Dharma and all of that. One of the things he spoke first was about impermanence. Right, when he spoke about the Four Noble Truths and the characteristics of the Four Noble Truths, he spoke about impermanence. So that shows he set his teaching, with impermanence. Then at the end of his life, when he decided to pass into Parinirvana, the end of his teaching, the last teaching, if we could say it, is the teaching of impermanence. So that shows he began with impermanence and he concluded with impermanence. So that shows the importance of, cultivating awareness of impermanence in our life and for spiritual development. Let me say this, you know, if we really constantly, you know, kind of be aware of, you know, death and dying, I don't think we really ever have a time or think about, harming somebody else. You know, if we know that life is very limited and so much uncertainty in life, impermanent, I don't think we dare to, you know, go and poke our nose in others' life and, you know, make them miserable. Awareness of impermanence of life, death and dying is a very powerful antidote. It can temporarily counteract other forms of delusions that we have, you know. If we have this really deep reflection of impermanence of life and things, then even if somebody goes crazy and mad with us, you know, that power of the awareness will prevent us from getting mad or, you know, angry with other person. Or that kind of awareness will prevent us from getting obsessively attached to, cling to other things, you know. Just think about that. We are at the end of the life, and we are sure to die. Well, there could be 100 things that are really irritating and upsetting and, you know, very attractive. Do you think we are going to get attached to those things and going to get mad and crazy with them? It's very unlikely. You see, when we are really aware of what is happening now and how much time is left. Well, I mean, we often maybe this case is thinking more about the Tibetans in expressions, you know, that a lot of Dharma things come into Tibetan ordinary expressions. We say, oh, that's impermanent, you know. But one thing we really need to differentiate perhaps, or maybe understand, is Mitabha, which is impermanence, and Chiva Mitabha, impermanence that is related to death and dying. Is death and dying a special case of impermanence. We know that seasons change, time change, but that much knowledge about, you know, how things change is not really meant we understand what impermanence is, okay, or we have a realization of impermanence. Okay? Even if we know that seasons, you know, change from one to the next, or the times change, we may not have thought about the impermanence of our own life, death and dying. So which means we could still be grasping at permanence of life. You know, and so that might be very intact, because we never think about the certainty of death in our life. We never think about uncertainty of time of death, you know, and all of those things. See, so I mean, those two things may not be connected. We may not connect the dots together, and there may not be much effect on our own life. I think really we have this notion of how we have sensitive to, to some extent, how things are changing around us, the things we own, right? We know when we buy a new car and how it ages, you know, it's old. I need to do the oil change, I need to do the, you know, whatever maintenance thing, blah, 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 all this thing. Oh, my car is now really getting old and it makes all these noises. But we really never think that we age along the way or change as well, you know. And so this is what we seem to be happening, that we know that we buy clothes and now they get old, they don't fit us, then we go and buy new ones, okay. But then we don't realize that all the things have changed with us, you know. And that's what I'm talking about. We really need to bring this sense of impermanence, if we do have something, bring home, right? And we have to understand that we are as impermanent as all these things we're talking about. My car is getting old, you know, my clothes are getting old and don't fit me, and my house is getting old or whatever.
You know?
So I'm just like, awareness of impermanence is really, it's very powerful in motivating us to bring the positive changes within us. So that's why we need to think about it, you know. Maybe relatively speaking, it's easy for us to understand that certainty of death, right? We know that one day we are going to die. Probably that we all believe that, okay? One day we are all going to die. What is the mystery about that, right? I mean, but where we really have a difficulty, the challenge we face is the time of death is uncertain. Nobody can predict it. It could happen any time, see? And we really don't pay attention to that.
That is it. That thing told me, that
And so here the great master Xiang Zun tells us that every day we really need to reflect on death and dying and impermanence of things if we truly seek liberation or freedom, right, from suffering. And so as we cultivate that mindset, we also need to modify our behaviors, if you will, behavioral actions. And he suggests, and he talks about what is called Pakwe Rikshi, which literally means the four things of a transcendental being. So I would simply call it like the four simple disciplines or actions of which are ways of life of a transcendental being or an Arya. And here the master is directly speaking to monastics, you know, monks and nuns, you know, how should they lead their way of life, because that's related to what is called the four simple things or the actions of Aryas or transcendental beings. And as you will see later, that one may not be a monastic you know, practitioner, or we are lay people, but we could also find these qualities, actions, simple actions, which, you know, are concordant with the simple things of our transcendental life. We may not live as simple as a monk or a nun, you know, but at the same time, we can simplify our lives. So what are the four simple things of an Arya or transcendental being, if you ask? The first one is called I call it a simple clothing for the monastics. So monastics, they wear robes, as Geshe-la and our monastics are wearing here. There's the yellow, you know, robe on top of that, you know, and that is another version of that, you don't need to know. And so, but those robes have to be simple. Simple in the sense that we try to avoid the two extremes case, that they don't make the robes so expensive and, you know, top of the quality and kind of a modeling type clothes, you know. Why do you really need that much expensive clothes, among and none? But you don't want to be too, on the other extreme, in the sense that your clothes are kind of a raggedy thing, you know, everything is falling apart, it's just pieces, like, you know, stitched together, you know. You don't want to be that poor either, so you're avoiding the extremes of too much poor and too rich or flashy or whatever, you know, but just stay in the middle.
Oh yeah, so it's a time. Then, rather than just somebody thinking, I churn out only. Churn out just talk about 2,000 nipe. We just want to keep it down to the trade journey. Never again, no choice, my friends.
So that's what is being said to the monks and nuns, right? Now, how does this apply to the lay practitioners? So Geshe-la says that, of course, you know, so you are working hard to make your money. So you don't want to spend your money every day, go and buy something, so as if like you have to change, you know, wear new clothes every day. Now, maybe that's too extreme on the other side.
You know.
So no need to change your shoes every day.
So the third day, that's the chora zhok te ya pe sa tre che tu ta da sa tre che de mang ne ya du cha che bi shin pe me kang ga pe cha me she gu ya de me na bi shin pa ru che de gu ra sta
so even the lay practitioners you know we don't go to the extreme of where like you know we buy expensive clothes and you know all of that or we become so poor we wear so poor clothes that people are kind of looking down on us like you know look at those you know we don't want to be on those two extremes just stay in the middle and have a simple life
ala stati rad shomar somba in francol koji duwas
so I think the message here for the monks and nuns also it has lessons we can learn as a lay practitioners how we can simplify our life you know
da nimba de sonyom ne ma se chokhe pas sonyom se chwa dre da susi yeak dre ngen cham se da ya thani de ya thani se man dungwa chi pe dangba ne pe jazi le jo ji jin ding ne se nan de hyo ma re che dangba pe an te dang wo ji re thani se man lo ma se sonyo ka de ge kyu shen na de ye gu de
no shi
de ma de le ha ga jin ge gu ye se de ba da a de de shen che ji ma re che sa ngen wo cham se ta kang ji a lu cho cho zang da cho ge de lu cho ge de le ji ge shen ni shun de de ba xia gu shi
So the another simple thing for monks and nuns is the simple food, right? Simple clothing, simple food. What this means is that traditionally monks and nuns, they go on alms begging, right? So whatever the benefactors give you, treat you, simple or whatever food, you just accept it as it is. You know, one does not, how should I say, the beggars are no choosers, right? So you don't put a demand, I don't eat that, I want that, you know, which one, two of those, no. You just whatever is given, gratefully accept that. Because the whole purpose here is to eat a simple food that you can support your life and sustain your life and then do your practice. I mean, that's the idea behind that, right? So the extreme case where he is like somebody who is eating, as we Tibetans have a traditional saying, like an 18-course food every day, you know, so you don't want a 25-course item every lunch or dinner. But that would be too much, you know.
chowate garse chowate ene thani se manu phase
no
is dabor re ki ko kong chim ki bin chi chi mu de se ge ba ga tor chen de chen de yu amar de
so for the lay practitioners here Gisela says you know you do the same thing you know you don't develop the habit of eating at expensive restaurants every day because then all the hard earned money are spent on the food right so you want to avoid that extreme you know
then yeah say ya to ji zan ne samani vesche ne rosum mata vesche pe drogo manra bas dena ya ba khusu je ne dil dil ne gyar ka kan je zubul ne gyar ba
but the other extreme we need to avoid is because you need to sustain your life you really need to take good care of your health so you don't want to be misers either right you can't spend money on food you know so you just eat food that is you know healthy and good for sustain your life but avoid the two extremes
that is ta sumbadre macha ngengwe tsang chi chokhe pas ta radu shuma tsu macha se melcha si ate den ta nyegu ta ta ten li susu le tsowe an kar se ta tsuji na lu gwe chi yorwa ta ten macha se ta ngengwe tsa ta ta ni sma hong ba ten re gwe re sta
and the third simple thing for monks and nuns that's being said here is called I call simple bedding which means you know mattress and the blankets and the quilt so you know and all of that so that's again you know to avoid the two extremes not to go for too expensive not to be too raggedy you know so I think now you can get a sense out of it right avoid the two extremes and just have enough to keep you warm you know
that nice swimming time na yeseme la sobe yojing ngwe zai choke ba ki yis ta ne yeseme se ta ta me nasa so ya ke me kar go te ma to ta me se ke pe nasa cha ni me ne ta me ten de me mang bon do so ta ni zo ya ta a ten de ke ta ten se ji me ba chran ra ra so ma cho ta ten de na yeseme la sobe yojing ngwe cha ta kang ji so so ge ba te ta ta ki ma to te le thab ji za ta
And the fourth simple thing suggested for monks and nuns is, you know, to be simple even in terms of taking medications. You know, if you really have certain kind of pain and sickness, of course you do need to take medication for that. But don't, you know, spend all the money to buy all the medicines you don't need it, you know, or just for some extra things, you know. The money part is, you know, because monks probably, monks and nuns don't have much money, you know, so that he said, yeah, but don't, you know, kind of accumulate the medicines you don't need it or which, you know, for no good reasons. But now for the lay practitioners, you know, the things avoid is, you know, of course, we do make money, so spend all the money on unnecessary medications or medical treatments, as we call it. And the things Geshe-la said is like, you know, we spend so much money on, you know, this aesthetic surgery to make us look, you know, slim and beautiful and whatever, that perfect body, if such things exist, you know. So we spend too much money just, you know, cutting things out of the body and fixing it here or, you know, patch it there, whatever. All those things, you know, don't need to do that. Our body is, you know, a result of what karma we created in the past. You know, we cannot modify too much with our body, you know, because it's related to karma, you know. So surgery may have its own limitations. And besides, you know, sucking all our money.
But
well, if we really do have sort of issues with how we look and our body type and whatnot, right? Well, then maybe that should become part of our motivation that, okay, I don't like this body, so next life I want to have a much better body. So do positive actions, karmas, you know, have a better body. So the four simple things we talked about in terms of the monastics, you know, but they could also be put in a different sense. Dōba chūngwa, have fewer desires as monks and nuns, or even as practitioners. Chokshēba, we have to know the sense of contentment. Enough is enough, you know, that's very important. Sōlāwa, that we are not too picky and, you know, choosy and all that. Just, you know, get easily satisfied with simple things. Sōlāwa. And easy, like, treatment, and kang lava is the easy, you know, to take care of.
So that the kani chori yoshi to zhele, ane, ngobo zangbo ta mangbo, zangbo ta mangbo, yuena ya to, di tong zangbo ta mangbo, hindi meba ki gogo.
So even if we do, you know, have access to better food, better clothing, or whatever better quality is, but we have to be really judicious in the use of it. You know, not that because we have access to everything, so we have to overeat or overdress or whatever, you know, but know our limits and, you know, be judicious in the use of resources. And he says, you know, about in terms of monastics, you know, just you are getting rid of all the material stuff, you know, especially for lay practitioners, that's a tough thing, you know, if you get rid of every stuff, you know. But we try to simplify our lives, you know.
Oh, yes, that is it. And then, choo kye pan, ngô bô, chung yung, ngô ngô zay choo kye pan, that, dang yu sar, that, yeah.
So a sense of contentment is whatever simple things and few things we have, we really feel happy and contented. You know, we don't go after, rush after, you know, more things and, you know, all that.
So how I said, tangi jida jiba cho shiba ta, jiba re tukang, chu yu tang, mai cha tang, kazi ngayon zang, ngayon, ane chang chung se ta, chung yu zang shi, ane, chawa yin suka na lo.
So that means, you know, we can easily take care of ourselves with simple food, simple clothing, simple bedding, and so forth. You know, simplify our life. So gang lava is more to do with the attitude of, like, CC. We have a sense of appreciating every little thing, you know, not to be choosy and picky, you know, that whatever simple things we find, we're just happy with that. So that kind of attitude we're talking about.
Mm. shansho sudyung ge ta tende ge ne chhe tu zane a ne se na da ta shia le le la pore shi ge risk kam.
So those who observe those four simple things, or we might call Arya's disciplines, you know, so they will be very successful in cultivating spiritual qualities. And we could often talk about what is called 37 factors harmonious with enlightenment. That's a mouthful to say for a translator. All the things, qualities we need to cultivate to reach enlightenment, so those, it will be much easier to cultivate those qualities if the life is simplified, you know, in the way we just talked about. So if one were to abide by those simple actions or disciplines, right? Neva means you abide by those disciplines or actions, then one, would have more success in cultivating those qualities related with enlightenment. Maybe we should look at these four simple things from the opposite side. You know, if we don't keep those simple things, so then what happens? You know, what's the big deal, right? So if we remain very attached and clinging to all kinds of things of this lifetime, okay, so we don't want the simple things, you know, we just are very attached and we need everything, then what happens is we might find ourselves getting involved in doing a lot of negativities, okay, a lot of negative actions. That's how now we become a source of, you know, a container, if you will, of negative karmic actions.
The current is not saying the one to see the chini, send the chani, and to share in the chavina, and then probably rigi losso tomato, probably here need to rigil need to marisons, and the consulted duch real never is.
So the point here is that if we are very attached to the worldly concerns of this lifetime, this life and nothing else, this is what it is, you know, we are so attached, obsessively attached to this, that means we are far away from the simple things we just talked about before, which means our life will be very hectic and busy, and we may find ourselves doing a lot of negativities, and negativities lead us to bad rebirths, you know that. And let me see, I lost the track of my...
Digital nearby, so
So another expression being used is, you know, if we are so caught up with chasing the material things and all the things without obsessive attachment and so forth, doing a lot of negativities, then it is as if that we are blessed by the devils. You know, now we are following the way of the devil and the demon and the opposite of the angels, you know. So that's what it is. No, of course, when we talk about devil, we don't mean like, you know, there's X, Y, Z person there, we follow them. We mean in a sense, a metaphorical sense, that instead of following the positive things, now we are under the influence of negativity. That's the sense. So anyway, the point we are trying to nail down here is that we have to really work with our attachment to this lifetime. You know, cut it down, reduce it, get rid of it. So if we get habituated in getting attached to things in this lifetime, You see, this kind of, how should I say, the mindset will continue into next life. So next life, we will be even more attached to things. And then, you know, the whole cycle gets perpetuated, you know, over lifetimes.
That's good. Okay. Ah, then, that, and then, then, that, see, the, what, thank you, Pangurus. The Pangni, and the Pangui regular never check to be Chevres.
So we should all try to, reduce and get rid of our attachment to life and things of this life and try to simplify our life by following the four simple actions or the disciplines of Aryas. So if we really need to reduce and get rid of our attachment to this life, so how do we do that, right? Is there a way to do that? Is there a method or antidote to do that, right? And so he says, yes, you know, one of the most powerful antidotes is to meditate on impermanence of life and things.
Kyoke madaba gonju majuna ani nyima shega ni ante ti madaba gonya te ze mazina ani tsin digi shega le cha ni tsin de gang le lo res kana lo.
So here it said that if we do not think about, let's say, impermanence at all in the morning, right? So a day start with not reflection, impermanence or awareness, then the whole day might, you know, go in a different direction, in the sense that, you know, how should I say, we will be really chasing and following the things of this lifetime. Because when we really don't think about impermanence in the morning, the whole day gets impacted by that mindset that now we are caught up with attachment to things of this life. You know, one of the reasons why we really need to work with attachment to this lifetime is if we get so stuck in this attachment, let's say, we don't think about impermanence and all that, then even if we say that I want to cultivate the spiritual motivation to work for my future lives, you know, it may not work that well, because after all, we are so stuck in our attachment and clinging to this lifetime. In the Sakya tradition of Tibetan Buddhism, you know, they have talked about what is called four types of detachment. Now, detachment in a positive sense, okay, not to be naive and, you know, indifferent. But detachment in a positive sense, this is, they talk of four types of detachment, shenpa shide, separation from four attachments, in other words. Now the first one is, if we are attached to this lifetime, they said, then we are not a spiritual practitioner. We cannot be a spiritual, you know, person.
Meeting mangu she da chue love re kor kor re ani karina top so se de sen du chebre anga she yore te inna ta kuran ga ni chen da ga san ra ta ma to she wa chama san de she ga ma so sa ka du inna kon ga na sho churang ga jo sta ku jo churang chue lo ya da gom je kor kor ya gom du de le ani chue ji shin ga ma re bes ka na nan do.
I remember, right, we really dealt with that anecdotal story about a man, you know, who tried three different things because he thought he was doing practice, and the Dom Dhamma comes along and kind of, you know, throws him off. Right, he said, sir, Cho, he's very respectful, Dom Dhamma. He said, it's really nice, you are doing circumambulation, you know, but don't you think it's better to do practice? And so what really probably he was doing was his motivation was not right. Maybe he's doing it because other people are doing it, you know, or maybe then other people might like him because he's in the circle there. Then the next day he said, okay, I'll read Dharma now. And then again Dom Dhamma says, sir, it's very nice you're reading Dharma texts, but don't you think it's better to practice, right? Maybe again his motivation for reading Dharma was not right. See? And then the third time he tried to do meditation of some kind, right? He's just sitting in the meditation, at least looks very nice, you know, meditator. But again, Dwamdamba says, sir, it's very nice to see you in doing meditation, but don't you think it's better to practice Dharma, right? So he really got thrown off, and that's what it is. We really need to check with our motivation. Even if what we do comes under Dharma, action or practice, or we think we are doing one, but if our motivation is not proper and correct, right, what we do might not become Dharma. So then when he asked for advice, finally he decided to say, okay, now I better ask, you know. And then the Dwamdamba said, you know what, you need to renounce this life. So meaning, we need to get rid of attachment to this life. Renounce this life doesn't mean like go and commit suicide, you know, you're good for nothing now. Don't mean that, you know, just kill yourself. What it really means is, don't get attached to this life. Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, or Je Rinpoche, also advises us in his works that if you really want to practice Dharma or spirituality purely, untainted in a sense, then we really need to get rid of our attachment not only to the things of this lifetime, but attachment to the things of future lives. Okay, because attachment is, you know, not a good thing. So if you think about death and dying, impermanence of life, that will temporarily help us to overcome attachment to these lifetimes and things. If we think about how the law of karma and actions works, you know, unmistakably, you know, nobody really need to watch how the law of karma functions here, or being fair or not. It works, you know, perfectly in a natural state. We think about that and understand it, then we will be able to cut off our attachment to things in the future lives.
Okay.
Of course, you know, everything has to go through a process. We learn slowly, we start practicing slowly. I don't mean that, you know, I mean, there's so much things to learn, and we have to learn everything in a day or two and then start doing everything, you know. It's a process we need to begin, and we have to follow through. So we would like to spend about 10 minutes, you know, answering your questions. So be kind to be loud so that, you know, Anila doesn't say repeat it to me, because I won't be able to repeat your questions. Like, you can say your questions. So be loud, you know, the camera can record you.
Oh, is it a camera?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, too loud people?
We could do both today, because we have tons in here.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay,
okay, any takers? Kishila is just, you know, trying to be a little, you know, funny. He thinks, you know, he's wondering whether all of us are kind of like, you know, skating on an ice, meaning like we really didn't go deep into the matter. We're just kind of gliding all the things, you know, smoothly gliding.
Tenzin, I have a question.
Sure.
Today is Veterans Day.
Yes.
We're supposed to you know, having feelings for our veterans, people who were fighters and soldiers who,
yes,
you know, went to battle and so,
yes,
on. How does Geshe-la approach, mm-hmm, this aspect of what's how that? We should feel about that?
Okay. Kenses wa tering konzo di mangmi gi mal shin konzo di tuden de wa te je tering ni mo de konzo mal mangmi so 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 ta ti ga da kare ton da lia le da ma de ten go ro wa sa de ken gi kong ba shi ji di to kan de sam go na sa da konzo mangmi so ton da
ta nga ran ju gi
ta de ma de de wa
ya ko ji ma de ta mangmi che len de cha gi to ju ta kare gi ne ma ko ran su de bang mo sa yo res no shi jis jo zang bo la ya ta
First, of course, you know, many of our soldiers are no more with us. You know, they died in the war or battlefield, or, you know, they sacrificed their lives. Yes, maybe for our country and all that. but still does not negate the negativities they themselves accumulated. You know, we could do things for our country and everything, but negativity is a negativity. You know, you do it and you accumulate it.
So that the social leg never stop it. Namite mam so 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 nyongu. Just a grand to conjure the carasigre. Any Tamilan jokers.
So what we can do best now for those who are no more with us is we really appreciate their sacrifices, but at the same time we acknowledge that whatever negativities they created under whatever circumstances, we hope that our good prayers and good wishes will in some measure or way help them to purify their negativities. Because after all, we are responsible for our negative actions. You know, we do it for whatever good reasons, but negativity is something we need to purify. You know, otherwise we have to face the consequences of the karmic actions. So in some sense, I mean, war is an unnecessary thing in the world, right? I mean, if we can make a choice, you know, nobody should want a war, or nobody really should want to having to maintain soldiers and military and installments, everything. But in under certain circumstances, somehow all those things exist. Okay, and so only best thing we can now do is hopefully that whenever that is in the future, that slowly we really don't need any more wars and any more ammunition and any more soldiers, you know. So we pray for that.
Yes.
So of course we pray for those who have soldiers who have lost their lives, and may they find good rebirths, you know, through the activation of their good karmas. And we really truly pray that, you know, from hereafter, that in the future world existence, you know, we can slowly reduce the soldiers around the world and all the ammunition, and that we really reach a day that all these unnecessary things don't really need to be there, right? We don't need a war, we don't need to kill each other, we don't need to bomb each other, you know, we don't need all those things. So hopefully, down the line, sometime in the future, that, you know, this will all become things of the past, you know. I mean, all things, this war and killing and negativities are basically the root lies in our own state of mind, right? So when we have a negative state of mind, and, this is where everything comes into existence, you know. So our mind, when it's influenced by negativity and delusions, so our mind is run by the negativity and delusions, and we as individuals are run by our mind. You see how we let mind control us. Our mind is controlled by delusions and negativities. So that's why then things go wrong in the world, right? So we are under the control of the mind. Mind is under the control of the delusions, negativity. So the things we do are really negative things, and then things we experience are negativities.
Huh?
Yeah, yes, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I read somewhere that suffering was one of the first things that Buddha talks about. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it, and he said one of the second things was fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked for some fear on it, and I couldn't find very much.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering what different things about fear.
Sure.
He said that Buddha never feared.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kulangi devlo shemene chena ane tenbegi ane sung tangbo jele ya ane chik tungye kol sung yores nyeba di ane shenang kol sung yores sikido ane shenang kol ane diba devlo bote rama chunsa ane diba mi sangye inbe chene shie guay ke yomarwa chesa an di kol kengi chik kachna yana sa
shangye kiamdi dike ka nangye tu chama lo kurang tuyanda ma res shangye gen tuyanda res shangye kiamdi dike ane pe diba megi virik pang jige chama lo pang
No. First, I want to say, as you kind of pointed out, that Buddha, as an enlightened being, so Buddha did not have any problems. You know, whatever Buddha taught or said is all meant to benefit us. You know, he taught all levels of things. You know, he talked about all kinds of situations. It's basically to benefit us sentient beings in those situations.
That is it.
So Buddha taught a lot about cultivating in some sense of fear, but that is related to our own life situations, because we are caught up in the situations where our life is characterized by problems and suffering. So we really need to learn to fear suffering, especially its causes. We need to really be afraid of the things which bring us suffering.
Mm-hmm. So
we need to fear the causes of suffering, and categorically speaking, there are two kinds. There's the deluded state of mind or delusions. We really need to fear them. And then there are the, what called the karmic actions which bring us suffering. We really need to fear them as well. So how do we learn to fear negative karmic actions? The way to really do that is when we look at what kind of negative results they bring, right? That's why we often talk about in Buddhism about all kinds of hellish situations, hungry ghost world, all the headaches they have. The really reason is the negativities lead rebirths into those things. You know, if you really kind of fear, okay, I don't want to be in hell, I don't want in the hungry ghost world, I don't want in even more problem areas, then we stop creating the negative causes or the karmas. And we often emphasize this in our Buddhist practice, especially starting with the refuge, that we said we cultivate the sense of fear with regard to the general suffering of samsara or cyclical existence and the particular sufferings of the three unfortunate states of rebirth. You know, when we really realize the suffering nature and we just, okay, I don't want to get there, that sense of fear or the fright is a positive thing, you know, that can really change our course of action or way of thinking, So if you are more interested to find about the sense of fear and stuff like that, if you look through the Lamrim text, especially where we describe a lot about the really difficult situations in the three bad migrations, then you might find more things, you know, related to fear. So when we think about the suffering nature of samsara and the specific sufferings of the bad migrations in the context of Lamrim, you know, we really deal with, it doesn't matter in which part of the samsara we find ourselves in, you know, we do find suffering, you know, that should frighten us, you know. We could be reborn as a human being, but we got our human sufferings to deal with. We could be born as a divine being of some kind, but divine have their own headaches too. And we may be born as a demigods, but they got issues to deal with, you know. Then, of course, those are still the better situations. Now, if we go into the hell and hungry ghosts and lesser kind of animal, bigger issues to deal with. So no matter where we find ourselves in samsara, you see, we will bump into suffering. So if suffering is something we should be afraid of so that we can find way out of suffering. And Geshe-la says, you know, if would like to kind of borrow books from us, I guess we may have a simple library somewhere, and people who know, you know, you can borrow it and then read it and bring it back, okay? Yeah. Okay, one more. Yes.
But going back on the fear, you know, does that mean then to be afraid of the external world,
mm-hmm.
because I think in one meditation session mm-hmm. that I had, I did start fearing
mm-hmm.
Things, because those are, you know, it's the external world that was making me do certain
sure.
things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
does that include
I was afraid. So what mm-hmm. does that
sure.
what it mean?
ala tanda gen shena ge se jor wang zo ko be chi da chada sam la dan shena ge se de ko na ji me chi kom ge de de ro ko ge de me ro se zambling ben de na chi lo la ne ji mang ko chung ge de shena shi bu le ge do sa ba ge ge de sam le cha she ro cha go ro kom ge de dam ne na ta me de yung go ro ba de shena ro ta cha go ro ge
ta ti de ju ta mo ju ngo su pe thon ri cha go ro ba bu ne ge na ju me de me chi thong go ro ba
no re
ta ju ta ke ke ma re shi
no shi
Yes,
yes, in our meditation on, you know, such focus, yes, we do include things which happen externally in the world, which really, brings us so much fright. Because this is what we can, you know, kind of access, right, information. And what we have, you know, how much suffering, intensity of suffering and problems we have in the human world, compared to those in the health and hungry ghosts, it's nothing, relatively speaking, you know. So the things, scary things happening in the world are like the pointers. These are the examples, you know, of how once we get in samsara or stuck, you know, these things happen, you know.
I think I would. But if that's here, the general gets him by your words.
Yes.
If that's here, the general, that you got till a strong cage, so you know, something ever something.
So it's important for us to cultivate that sense of fright, you know, reflecting on suffering, problems, situations like that. But our purpose is not to scare ourselves or handicap ourselves, like, oh my gosh, you know, the world is a scary place to be in, you know, what do I do? Not to handicap us, but this is like, okay, we find a way, okay, if this is the case, is there anybody who can really, in the sense of eventual, help me to get out of this situation? So that's how we go for refuge in enlightened beings, spirituality, and spiritual community. So, I mean, we also need to reflect on the qualities of the three jewels who could help us, you know, that they have the compassion and love, means they are really unconditionally willing to help us, you know, they have the wisdom and abilities to help us, you know, not that they can literally take us out of suffering, but they can really guide us, and we follow that way, we could be out of fear and out of samsara, you know, that's the whole, you know, the purpose behind reflecting on suffering, nature, and sense of fear, and all of that. In the 70 topics on the refuge practice called Kyamdu Tenjuba, so that's mentioned, as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, that those who are seeking Nirvana or liberation, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha are the true refuge for those seekers. So I think we'll stop there today. And Annie, did you say something?
Carrie had a question.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Darling, as you drink,
my uncle should get caro.
Do
it. Set a share down.
Ali, as you
said, yes.
Could you just repeat the four
simple things?
Detachments.
Oh, well, Geshe-la didn't say it's okay.
He didn't say it.
She did again. Not that I cut it off, you know, which I don't do.
Call it here, na, taba mason.
Okay, so we will list through that. If we are attached to samsara, there will be no liberation or nirvana. Okay? If you are attached to this lifetime, you are not a Dharma practitioner. Right? Two. You got two, right? Yes. No, no, I said if you are attached to samsara, you have no nirvana. That's another one. Okay, so if you want to, you know, start, let's start it all over. Get attached to this life, you are not a Dharma practitioner. Okay. If you're attached to samsara, you have no nirvana, liberation. Two. And if you are attached to your selfish interests and motives, you will never be Bodhisattvas. And if we are, you know, stuck with the self-grasping, you will never understand the view of emptiness. So those four are very, very and central things for us. And of course, so we just kind of quoted from the Sakya tradition, but Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerumbuche and other great masters of other traditions have spoken about these matters. Of course, everything began with Buddha, right? If Buddha didn't say it, you know, things shouldn't be made up in the middle. So I appreciate you taking notes, but you know, don't keep it in the notes or forget things. You know, just have to bring it to our mind. You know, so there are those four things. So I have a whole string of announcements to make, so you will bear with me. November 30th, 30, is introduction to Nyungne, the fasting retreat. Okay, at 7:30 p.m. here. So you want to write it down? Actually, it's on the web, you know, our website. Okay, so you want to visit it? I guess it's www.ttlink.com or you know, something like that. So November 30th, Friday, is introduction to Nyungne or fasting retreat in the evening, 7:30. Geshe-la will do especially good for, I think, new people, students. December 1st, Saturday, the real Nyungne practice starts, the fasting retreat starts, 6:30, you know, on dot. Okay. Now we are all Americans, so we have the one time, right? And then December 2nd, which is Sunday, is the second day of the Nyungne fasting retreat. No Sunday teachings, right? People are doing Nyungne. So retreat begins again exactly at 6:30 a.m. Okay, so all this information are on the website. December 3rd, Monday morning at 6 a.m., the fasting retreat will be officially, you know, concluded, and you will be served light breakfast, and then you can go to school and works, and go back to sleep if you don't need to work. December 9. December 9, Tuesday. December 9, Sunday, can be Tuesday. There will be a special speaker, a Tibetan Mr. Pema Chinjo, who was a Tibetan cabinet minister in India, security minister for His Holiness. And so he will share his experiences about living in Tibet and in exile and, you know, on more about Tibetan culture. So he will be speaking here at 1:30 in the afternoon. After Geshe-la's teaching, you know, we can rush for a lunch or something, then come back, you know, if we have time to listen. And where are my things? Here. Prayer request. Prayers are requested for Terry Moran, Fred Landren, Larry Wepper. They all have health issues to deal with, and baby Ethan, whatever the baby has, you know, issues. So prayers are requested for all of them. So as Doreen reminded us of the Veterans Day, this means, you know, we have lost, you know, so many lives of soldiers. And so this is a good time for us to say prayers for them, dedication for them. And together we will pray to Buddha of Compassion, Arya Avalokiteshvara, or Chenri Singh in Tibetan. And we recite the six-syllable name mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. Shadong Let us dedicate our collective marriage for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions, monks, nuns, lay practitioners, remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling our spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. And today is a special day where we remember our veterans, and so we have karmic connection with them as we have karmic connection with all sentient beings. They have been our kind mothers, kind fathers, our best friends, our relatives, and you just name it. Of course, not in one lifetime. That's just impossible. But over many lifetimes, we have become parents and children and friends of each other. So we have that karmic bond and connection with veterans and sentient beings. So with that acknowledgement, we dedicate our prayers and merit for them to find, good rebirths, so that they are able to make meaning out of their precious human lives and pursue their spiritual development and find their way to enlightenment. Last but not least, we dedicate our merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration to liberation or nirvana, and obscuration to omniscient state. And may we all reach complete enlightened state called Buddhahood very soon.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you haven't checked the website, like